Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. We are eager to offer amazingly competitive prices, plus an additional $1,000 Costco discount on all new Cherry Hill Volvos. When leasing or purchasing a new or certified Cherry Hill Volvo, you become a valued part of our team. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now, on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
A huge breaking news day as the House Republicans announce an investigation into President Biden. A big probe launch into Hunter Biden and all kinds of stuff going on today. And the vampiric one, Nancy Pelosi, steps down in her role as House leader for the Democrats. Good afternoon. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. We got so much to discuss today. Pelosi will no longer be the minority leader. She's going to remain in Congress, however, but she will not be the minority leader for the Democrats. She received a standing ovation, which is what happens in Washington when they shiv you out the door, and she is done. She said, "For me, the hours come for a new generation to lead the Democratic caucus that I so deeply respect." Meanwhile, the Republicans today opened a number of investigations. Press conference was held today by Representatives James Comer of Kentucky and Jim Jordan of Ohio, announcing that House Republicans would be opening up an investigation to determine the extent of President Joe Biden's involvement in his son Hunter's business dealings. This is huge. Look, I know that there's a lot of consternation over the red wave and the fact that it didn't occur. But like I said to you last week, what you should be happy about is that the Republicans are in control of the House. And they can now do the oversight that needs to be done on Hunter Biden, on COVID, on the FBI, the Department of Justice, the IRS. I mean, all of it. And they can do these things now. That's the good thing. That's the beautiful part about this. Republicans have already gathered incriminating evidence of wire fraud, violation of the Foreign Agents Registration Act, money laundering, and tax evasion, among other crimes allegedly committed by the Bidens, not just Hunter, but the Bidens. Jordan is going to become the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. And this is going to be huge because now that they have the majority, they will be able to control these investigations. As part of our investigation, we have evidence that the finances, credit cards, and bank accounts of Hunter and Joe Biden were commingled, if not shared. And on some accounts, at least, red flags were raised by banks to the account owner or owners indicating suspicious or illegal activity. They noted that Hunter Biden's business associates met with his father on numerous occasions while Biden was serving as vice president. They said the Bidens flourished and became millionaires by simply offering access to the family. La familia. This is a big deal. This is a very, very big deal. And again, why I love being in afternoons, because I can share this breaking news with you. And we can get ahead of it before anybody else can. And that's what I love about this. And what I'm telling you right now is that buckle up, because this is going to get very, very intense. And it should. This is the right thing to do. This is the beauty about having control of the House of Representatives. And they're going to do exactly what the Republicans did to Trump. Excuse me, what the Democrats did to Trump, I mean. They are going to go after the president. And it's not for revenge. It's not political revenge. It's because they have to. It's because there's too much here to ignore. And we've been ignoring Biden's links to Hunter Biden and China and everything else. We've been ignoring this and pretending like it wasn't there. And the media is going to do their thing and call this conspiracy theories. And the White House has just responded a short time ago saying just that, that it's conspiracy theories. But what I know, what you know, what we know is that there's just too much to ignore here between Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, the Chinese, Ukraine, and all of it. And that's the reality. And ever since he flew on his dad's plane when he was vice president of the United States to go to a meeting in China, it's very obvious that Hunter Biden was using his dad's name and his dad's prominence in government, American government, to get international contracts. And of that, what crimes, if any, were committed? And those are the questions that I've always had. And now we know, as details come out, that 10% for the big guy was most likely a reference to Joe Biden being the big guy. And 10% for the big guy. How is it a guy who stayed in government his entire life with his wife being a professor? He's in government his entire life and they're multi-millionaires. You know, you can have a good living if you're in government your whole life. You make a $175,000 or so and you have a good living, but you're not going to become a millionaire that way. I mean, unless you get really lucky in the stock market, which, of course, many of them do. But Joe Biden's not exactly a savvy stock kind of guy. So how did he make all his money? This is the question. How did they become millionaires? And the allegation by Comer and Jordan is that they offered access to the family. According to a Washington Post report from last month, the U.S. attorney in Delaware is currently mulling charges against Hunter Biden, who has been presented with evidence by federal investigators that Biden has committed tax evasion, lied about his drug use on a form he filled in order to purchase a firearm. He was using crack cocaine at the time. That is just something that they'll use to try to get him to cooperate in other things. That charge is not a big deal per se, but they'll use it, obviously, as they often do. Hunter's late older brother, Beau, his widow, Haley Biden, and Hunter's ex-girlfriend hid the weapon from him because she was scared he would use it. So that's what we are today. And we have a lot of audio for you on this from Comer and Jordan. The other thing that's happening as well is that Jim Jordan is also saying Republicans will hold Biden's politicized Department of Justice accountable as well. They haven't even gotten into the Fauci stuff, but that's coming too. Asanto Fauci, the nation's leading infectious disease doctor. You always have to say that by law, of course. And they're going to go after him as well. And the other part of this, too, is that today in front of the Senate, FBI Director Christopher Wray faced some cross-examination by Josh Hawley and some others. And this was very, very good stuff because a lot of it came out on the FBI's abuse of power being used for political purposes and being weaponized by Democrats in the federal government. So we got that for you as well today. So we have a lot to get to on a very, very busy show. We'll be at Parks Casino tonight. I hope you'll join us. It's the Joe Conklin Comedy Show tonight. It starts at 8 o'clock. The doors open at 7. And it's going to be a lot of fun. So come out and see us and join us for that tonight. Tickets are only $20. They still have a couple left. You can get them by either coming to the door tonight or going to parkscasino.com/comedy. And it's on Street Road in Ben Salem. You must be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. I look forward to seeing you there tonight as I MC the event tonight. It'll be a lot of fun. So we have a lot of that to get to. In Philadelphia, the migrants have arrived at 30th Street Station. That's the big news on that. We are a sanctuary city, as our mayor with his white man's overbite did the dance in the hallway that day. We are a sanctuary city, and we now are taking in migrants. And, of course, they're welcoming them with open arms. They have no choice, because Texas Governor Greg Abbott sent them to Philadelphia. The city doesn't have a choice, but, of course, they're pretending like they're thrilled to welcome these migrants. My question is, if you're so happy to welcome them, why haven't you rolled out the red carpet before? What's taking you until now? And it was forced upon you. It was forced upon the city of Philadelphia. That's the truth. And if you were so happy to have them, what'd you wait till now for? And in San Francisco, they're now launching a new guaranteed income program for the transgender community. So if you identify as trans, you'll be able to get all kinds of different guaranteed income of up to $1,200 a month. And the San Francisco guaranteed income for transgender residents lists 97 different genders on the application. Some of them I literally cannot even read. I would need Rosetta Stone for them. But I'll go through some of those with you as the show goes on. And we'll try to understand what scoliosexual means. I think it means you're attracted to skull, which is chewing tobacco. But I could be wrong on that point. But then again, who knows? Now, the other day, As I was thinking about the, and with such joy of the Republicans taking over the House for the purposes of oversight, for the purposes of being able to know exactly what's going on in this administration and holding people accountable, I was reacting with joy about this. And I kept thinking, all right, well, Kevin McCarthy is going to be speaker, and fine, it's no big deal. He'll be speaker because that matters to a degree. What really matters, though, is who controls the Judiciary Committee. That's the committee that's going to get down to business here. That's the committee that's going to get down to brass tacks. And Jim Jordan will be the chairman because he did not do a fight against Kevin McCarthy. Some people thought he would, but he decided to become the committee chairman instead, which is a smart move for him. And he's a pit bull. He really is. He's a pit bull. So let's begin with some audio, shall we? Why don't we begin with cut number 8, Matt DeSantis. This is Representative Jim Comer of Kentucky announcing the investigation into the Biden family.
You know, today we're going to provide you with something that you all aren't used to with respect to congressional investigations. And that's evidence. Committee Republicans have spoken with multiple whistleblowers from numerous schemes involving the Biden family, reviewed Hunter Biden's laptop, and received documents of previously unknown transactions. What we found are business plans aimed at targets around the world based on influence peddling, including with people closely tied to foreign governments like China and Russia. We also found plans based in the United States where the Biden family swindled investors of hundreds of thousands of dollars, all with Joe Biden's participation and knowledge. In 2019, shortly after announcing his campaign for president, Joe Biden told the American people he had nothing to do with and never had conversations with his family about their business dealings. That was a lie. Whistleblowers described President Biden as chairman of the board for these businesses. He personally participated in meetings and phone calls. Documents show that he was a partner with access to an office. To be clear, Joe Biden is the big guy. This evidence raises troubling questions about whether President Biden is a national security risk and about whether he is compromised by foreign governments.
It's a big deal, whether he's a security risk and whether he's compromised by foreign governments. Now, remember, in October of 2020, when the story broke by the New York Post of this laptop, the Hunter Biden laptop, at the Delaware computer repair shop, what was it called by the media and social media and everything else? Russian disinformation. You remember this. And Donald Trump at the time said, listen, we got to know if Joe Biden's compromised. And everybody said the same thing. Yeah, we got to know if he's compromised. Except the people that didn't say the same thing were people like Democrats and the media and the same thing, of course. I'm repeating myself. But you know what I mean by that. We had a right to know then the extent of Hunter Biden's business dealings. Instead, they acted like the laptop didn't exist. They acted like it was just simply Russian propaganda. Jen Psaki snarks that tweet is still up. I checked today. More than 50 former intelligence officials signed a letter saying that the Hunter Biden laptop story is Russian disinformation. It was all BS. The American people had a right to have a conversation in October 2020 about Joe Biden and his business dealings and Hunter and the links there and whether or not the president would be compromised. Of course, we did not have that conversation. We were not allowed to. You were not allowed to talk about it. You were not allowed to share it. It was taken off Facebook and Twitter. Those sites banned you from sharing the story. And anybody who came out and said that they thought the story was real was called a conspiracy crackpot kook and told to go away and stop peddling Russian misinformation and disinformation. That's what happened. Now we know the laptop story was true, despite months and months of the media denying it. And we've played montage after montage of the media saying that this was Russian disinformation. And maybe we'll pull one of those out from the archives today for you. Until finally then, in 2021, when the New York Times and the Washington Post had to acknowledge begrudgingly the laptop was real and it belonged to Hunter Biden and on there has all kinds of sleazy stuff. So we never got to have the conversation as a nation then about whether or not Joe Biden could be an effective president and not be compromised by the Chinese. And that's always what it's been about. It's always been about whether or not Joe Biden as president of the United States could effectively deal with China without being compromised by his son's business dealings and potentially his own business dealings. It's always been about. And as I think about his meeting with Xi Jinping and how at no point did he bring up COVID, we've done nothing to try to figure out what happened in the Wuhan lab. We've done nothing to deal with China and the games they play with our supply chain, intellectual property theft, other than passing the CHIPS Act, which really the president had very little to do with that. The United States has done really nothing to crack down on China. and all the games they play economically, we're not a threat. We know that we're not doing anything to stop them with Taiwan. We just put out platitudes. And I just keep asking the question, is that because Joe Biden is compromised by the Chinese government? What do they have on him? Now, when Trump was president, it was fair to ask that about Russia, you remember. They said, oh, he wanted to build a hotel in Moscow. So clearly the Russians have something on him. Meanwhile, he never did anything that helped Russia during his presidency. In fact, he actually battled Russia when it came to our natural gas. And I played you that clip before when he was facing Angela Merkel and they were laughing at him as he was saying, why are you people empowering Vladimir Putin by buying his natural gas? What are you doing? And they all laughed at him, but he was right. And Russia never invaded Ukraine when Trump was president, even though apparently if that's what they wanted to do, why wouldn't they have done it during the years he was president since he was such a Russian stooge and they had so much on him? It's because he wasn't and they didn't. So we need to ask these questions about Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. This is Jim Comer now. Biden, how they became millionaires. Cut 9.
The investigation reveals a family that engaged with some of America's most powerful adversaries, planning to sell one of the largest sources of cobalt for electric vehicles in the world to the Chinese, for example. The Bidens flourished and became millionaires by simply offering access to the family. Among the dozens of shell companies the Bidens set up, there were millions of dollars of wire transfers, flights on Air Force Two, to conduct personal business and meetings with heads of state, all while Joe Biden was aware of what was happening. All the while, he turned a blind eye. Many transactions related to these businesses have raised red flags at U.S. banks. A suspicious activity report, or SAR, is a document a bank must file with the Treasury Department when a transaction is suspected to be related to money laundering or fraud or other types of criminal activity. According to media reports, the Biden family accumulated over 150 SARs. One SAR generated by an American bank to the Treasury Department connects Hunter Biden and his business associates to international human trafficking, among other illegal activities. The money that was being made from foreign principals in the same room as Joe Biden was increasingly spent on furthering illegal activity. The SARs show that Hunter Biden was conducting business with suspected human traffickers. The money gained through influence peddling was funneled to a suspected criminal enterprise, again, one linked to human trafficking. We have repeatedly called on the Biden Treasury Department to release additional financial documents to committee Republicans, but thus far Treasury has refused. We want to know what the Biden administration is trying to hide from the American people and why they are not being transparent. We also found evidence Hunter Biden sought to evade these SARs using his financial advisor, coincidentally a Clinton administration official. We will continue to pursue all evidence and specifically the SARs and bank records in the new Congress. As part of our investigation, we have evidence that the finances, credit cards, and bank accounts of Hunter and Joe Biden were commingled, if not shared.
That's a big deal because that means they've got evidence, actual evidence. See, what we heard for years when Trump was president was we heard nonstop allegations. Nobody ever had any evidence to prove a damn thing with regards to Russia. The Bidens, these guys are talking about having actual evidence, a paper trail, credit card receipts. This is a big effing deal, to quote Joe Biden. This is a big deal, what these guys are alleging and what they have. So we got a lot to talk about today, as you can imagine. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. This is the kind of stuff that could lead to impeachment. No joke, folks. That's no joke. We'll be right back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Thanks for listening. to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
And he works hard for the money, too. By the way, the head of that FTX, that woke CEO, Democrat, mega donor, turns out he just gave an interview. It just broke a short time ago where he said that all the altruism and that nonsense, all the wokeness was all a dumb game. He confessed that the fake window dressing of altruism was mostly a front and that the performance was done so everyone likes us. Shocking, right? Because how many times do corporations do that, where they adopt these woke positions on things and it's completely done? I've said this before. It's to keep the angry mob away from the realities of what's going on in the corporation, which is usually that the haves and the have-nots. I mean, let's face it. That's what woke is always angry at the end of the day about capitalism, and they want socialism. And so what happens is companies where they pay their CEOs millions of dollars and the dude in the mailroom is making $15 an hour, whatever it is, what they do is they hide that behind hashtags of all the trendy social issues of the day. So that woke gets confused. You play a Jedi mind game with them, and woke gets confused and thinks, oh, look, they're all on board with whatever woke nonsense we have. They've got gender neutral bathrooms at their workplace, and they have their pronouns properly displayed. And then it keeps woke from going after the company for the disparity in pay among their employees, which I personally have no problem with. It's capitalism, but they do. They have a big problem with it. So what this guy is saying here, what this Sam Bankman-Fried is saying, is that they did the same thing. They wanted to distract people from realizing how much money they were making. So they adopted all these woke positions as they were giving money to Democrats. And this way they could distract everybody. They gave $5 million and a grant to ProPublica to financially support investigations into ongoing questions about COVID-19, for example. And they promoted the World Economic Forum's website, among other things as well. All the woke things. He was a speaker at the annual meeting for the Clinton Global Initiative. The event covered subjects such as vaccine development, the implications of climate change, and transforming philanthropy for equity, justice, and impact. He was also slated to be a featured speaker at a summit hosted by the New York Times on November 30th, along with BlackRock CEO Larry Fink, New York City Mayor Eric Adams, and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. Tickets for the event cost $2,499. That's nothing. Cheaper than a Bruce Springsteen concert. Bankman-Fried, a self-proclaimed effective altruist, was hyped up by the media, and CNBC investment personality Jim Cramer championed him as the J.P. Morgan of his generation. Shark Tank star investor Kevin O'Leary previously said of FTX, if there's ever a place I could be that I'm not going to get in trouble, it's going to be at FTX. CNBC reporter Kevin Looney lauded Bankman-Fried as the Michael Jordan of crypto. Bloomberg previously said that FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried drives a Corolla, sleeps on a beanbag, and has a Robin Hood-like philosophy. But he admitted masquerading as a woke Westerner was all a game. In a new interview, he confessed that he used his virtuous stances as a front to win the game. Vox reporter Kelsey Piper, who interviewed Bankman-Fried through direct messages on Twitter, said to the former FTX CEO, quote, "You were really good at talking about ethics for someone who kind of saw it all was a game with investors and winners and losers." He responded, "Yeah, I had to be. It's what reputations are made of to some extent. I feel bad for those who got effed by it, but this dumb game we woke Westerners play where we all say all the right things so everyone likes us." When asked if his ethics stuff was mostly a front, he said, "Yeah, I mean, that's not all of it, but it's a lot." In the summer, he said that companies should not engage in unethical practices. However, when pressed by the Vox reporter, he admitted, "Man, all the dumb S I said." He didn't mean any of it. Speaking about investors focusing on environmental, social, and governance, known as ESG, and we've talked a lot about how companies now are all in on the ESG game. Investors are now, for example, they're shunning oil companies and gun companies and all these other companies and embracing these climate change companies, even if the companies are not profitable or really set to make money, because it's all about ESG, environmental, social, and governance. Pressed on that, he said, F regulators. They make everything worse. They don't protect customers at all. ESG has been perverted beyond recognition. He also said it was never his intention to squander away investors' money, but sometimes life creeps up on you. I effed up big multiple times, he said. And he said his biggest regret was FTX filing for bankruptcy. He believes that everything would be 70% fixed right now if he hadn't declared bankruptcy. He calls the bankruptcy his biggest single F up. He said if he could do it all over again, he would be more careful accounting, and separate his hedge fund, Alameda Research, from FTX. There you go. John J. Ray III, a bankruptcy expert with more than 40 years of restructuring experience, who liquidated Enron, was appointed CEO of FTX. And in a filing with the U.S. Bankruptcy Court for the District of Delaware, he said, quote, "Never in my career have I seen such a complete failure of corporate controls and such a complete absence of trustworthy financial information as occurred here." In the Bahamas, I understand the corporate funds of the FTX group were used to purchase homes and other personal items for employees and advisors. I understand that there does not appear to be documentation for certain of these transactions as loans, that certain real estate was recorded in the personal name of these employees and advisors on the records of the Bahamas. So it's a total mess, but I find it fascinating, though, that he's admitting that all his woke nonsense was purely just all theater. And all the guy cared about was making money, which is what a lot of these companies, I mean, most of the big corporations that are woke, what they care about at the end of the day is making money. The woke stuff is just window dressing. I've said this before, and it's to distract woke from coming after them, really about the disparity in pay. I mean, at the end of the day, what woke wants is socialism. And the companies are able to distract them with pride flags. No, they do. They do. They make rainbows and pride flags and they do all that stuff. And then woke say, oh, we love you. You're so advanced. And then the companies come out and pledge. They go, we're not using water bottles at work anymore. Everybody's got to bring their own bottle if they want water. Oh, you guys are so, we love you. But meanwhile, the CEO, all the C-suite executives, the board of directors, everybody, they're all making millions of dollars. And then you got employees making $25,000, $30,000 a year. That's normally the kind of thing woke would scream about and jump up and huff and puff, but they're too busy looking at the pride flags to realize that. And the companies do that. They're smart like that. They let everybody see how woke and with the times they are to hide from that. We think the Nike CEO is making $15 an hour. No, he's not. He's not. But woke doesn't care as long as Nike puts Colin Kaepernick on their shoes. You know what I mean? So that's how the game is played. But at least this guy's admitting it. 855-839-1210 is the number on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. So back to the investigation into the Bidens. Representative Jim Jordan, my man, he's a great guy. And I'm telling you, he's going to be a fantastic chairman of the Judiciary Committee. He's going to get to the bottom of this. But not just Hunter Biden and not just Joe Biden. The FBI, the Department of Justice, Asanto Fauci, all of it. It's going to be great. We're going to finally get transparency in this country, and I think it's a wonderful thing. So no matter how bummed you may be about the fact that the Republicans only won the majority as of right now by one seat, doesn't matter. They still have the majority, and that's what matters. And I'll play you more audio on the other side of this break from their press conference today. So I want you to hear it. I think you will appreciate it. But I also want to play this clip real quick. This is Jim Jordan saying that the House Republicans will hold the Department of Justice accountable. Cut 12.
Is the FBI going to quit interfering with elections? 2016, they spied on President Trump's campaign. 2018, it was the Mueller investigation. 2020, they suppressed information about the Hunter Biden story. 2022, they raided the president's home 91 days before an election. Maybe it'd be nice if the FBI and the Justice Department just stayed out of it and let we the people decide who we think should represent us, who we think should lead us. That's supposed to be how America works. So this is the focus on the Judiciary Committee, the political nature at the Justice Department, and the linkage now to what was happening with the Hunter Biden story. Again, just 15 days before we have a presidential election.
There you go. 855-839-1210. Busy, busy afternoon. I got lots of audio for you. The vampiric one, Nancy Pelosi, stepping down as the Democrat leader in the House of Representatives. The number two guy, Steny Hoyer, is also out. Be right back.
The Zeoli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app. The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Did this come to you in a dream, Henry? This song?
No, it's a hard knock life for SPF right now.
Oh, okay. Very nice. I do like how you add the music to the current topic. I told our esteemed program director, Greg Stocker, that today. I said, Henry does a very good job of whatever I'm talking about, he finds a song to go along with it, like a companion, if you will. So
yeah, I got to do my best to compliment the show.
I like it. I like it. I mean, it's not always the song I would have chose, but you know, you get an A for effort.
Yeah.
It's not a song that most of us would have chose, but hey, listen, you know what?
Thinking outside the box here.
That's what we like. We appreciate that. And that was for the FTX founder, Sam Bankman-Fried. It's a hard knock life.
Yeah.
As he's stuck in the Bahamas.
Yeah, playing the world's smallest violin for him.
Yeah, and you know, Matt DeSantis, the executive producer, popped in the studio during the break, and he asked me a very important question, which is, why is he direct messaging a reporter from Vox?
Terrible decision. I'm no legal expert, but he should probably just keep silent for a while, right?
Didn't you? And you made a very good suggestion about what his lawyer should do, and I liked it.
He should snap his cell phone in half and throw it away.
Kind of invoked a little Breaking Bad for me right there. A little Slip and Jimmy, you know what I mean? We just crack it in half and throw it away. I like it. Well, there's a lot to get to. I have my friend, I had to translate his text. My friend Eric Ford asked a good question. He said, with FTX, I want to know how much money the Democrats laundered through it for campaign funds. About $40 million. It's all of it. I mean, the guy was, he was the second biggest campaign donor besides... What's his name?
George Soros.
Thank you. Yeah, George Soros. I was about to say George Orwell, but I was definitely not George Orwell. Definitely not George Orwell. I'm a little tired. I was in Atlantic City for the League of Municipalities convention the last couple of days. Thanks to my buddy Rick DeMichelle. He let me do the show from his palatial shore estate yesterday in Longport, which is why it sounded a little echoey. But nevertheless, I was able to, of course, be on the air live there. Of course, Rick DeMichelle is the attorney with DeMichelle and DeMichelle, which is the compassionate advocate in South Jersey. Also, the law firm that employs our very own Matt Rooney, who you can hear every Sunday night here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. My buddy Matt Rooney with the Save Jersey blog, who I don't think was in Atlantic City, as a matter of fact. I don't remember seeing him there, but we had a good time, and it was a lot of politics and a lot of insider politics that were happening. So I'll share some things with you, though I can't share a lot because most of it I don't remember. 855-839-1210. Just kidding. But I was at the Irish Pub in Atlantic City, and I love that place so much. And I'm always reminded of the fact that it's open 24 hours a day. It never closes. And that's something. It's grandfathered in from back in the day, basically when it was a speakeasy during Prohibition. And 24 hours a day, it's open. Needless to say, I'm very grateful that I was not doing morning radio today when I left the bar last night at 2:30 in the morning and we got into the Uber. And I realized, wow, if I was still in mornings, I'd have to be getting up for work right now. So no complaints there. Tomorrow, however, we have an abbreviated show. It's only going to be from 3 to 4:30. Much to my disappointment, I'll be done at 4:30 on a Friday. I'm bummed about it, but you got to do what you got to do. It's out of my control. I know the question is, Greg Stocker punishing me for going to afternoons by playing these sporting contests on the station? No, these are outside of our control. These are contractual obligations that I knew of before I moved back to afternoons, but it's no big deal. It is what it is. We'll make the best of it for the first 90 minutes tomorrow. But as of today, we're live and local till 7, and I'll be at Parks Casino tonight, so come on by and say hello. This is more from the press conference today. This is Representative Comer. Jim Biden promised access. Remember, this is bigger than just Hunter Biden and bigger than just Joe Biden. All of this together goes in with the Biden crime family. And already Democrats are screaming about this. Already they're screaming that this is happening. I just got a nasty email from some jerk who called me a Trumpzy, which I assume is his little creative play on Nazi. I don't really know, but...
He got you.
Got me. Wow, I'll tell you. I don't know how I'm going to sleep tonight, huh? Look at that, Henry. What a dig. A Trumpzy. So he writes, the GOP plan to curb inflation, investigate Hunter Biden. The GOP plan to improve infrastructure, investigate Hunter Biden. The GOP plan to lower healthcare costs, investigate Hunter Biden. You get it. On and on it goes. These guys are such hypocrites. They impeached the former president twice. We spent, what, $65 million investigating him with the Mueller report? These hypocritical frauds are now going to scream that Republicans should not investigate the Bidens. and they should just focus on the issues? Seriously? Really? That's charming. That is, I got to tell you, that's rich. That's charming. You wasted about all in, probably when you add it all up, probably about $100 million of my tax dollars investigating Donald Trump, maybe more. I'll say we'll round it to 100 to be fair between the cost of the impeachment, the January 6th committee, the Mueller report, all of it. I'll say a cool $100 million among friends. And now you're going to turn around and tell me that we should be focused on the issues and not looking into the Bidens because that's a distraction or some nonsense. Right. Okay. Sure. You got it. We'll get right on that. Secondly, what I would tell this moron is this is the House Judiciary Committee. This is one committee in the House of Representatives. There are other committees that will handle things like infrastructure, gas prices. In other words, we can do something that is known as walk and chew gum at the same time. We can focus on multiple issues, not just Hunter Biden. They're also going to work on, dealing with America's energy crisis, dealing with the price of gas. Yes, because we need to have more drilling. They need to deal with a lot of different things. But this is just one aspect of that. But it's what Democrats are really upset about because they know we're going to get to the bottom of the corruption, that the stench of it that stinks around this White House. And there's evidence. I mean, that's the thing here. This is what Representative Comer said today. Cut 10.
Domestically, Jim Biden, Joe Biden's brother, used the Biden name to enrich himself in return for the promise that when Joe Biden became president in 2020, business partners would get rich by having access to a future Biden administration. By promising access to financing through Middle Eastern, Russian, and Chinese connections he made through Joe Biden, and by bringing his brother Joe Biden onto phone calls, Jim Biden was able to convince companies to give him loans of hundreds of thousands of dollars that he never repaid. The Biden administration has answered none of our requests for information regarding the Biden family or the financial transactions they engaged in. Instead, the Biden administration has spent over $250,000 to staff to, quote, deflect Hunter stories. Protecting the president's son who has committed crimes with Americans' tax dollars is a waste. The domestic and international scheme that promised access to wealth in a future Biden administration constitute fraud. And the president's participation in enriching his family is, in a word, abuse of the highest order. Rooting out waste, fraud, and abuse will be the primary goal of a Republican House Oversight Committee. As such, this investigation will be a top priority. We are releasing a report today that details what we have uncovered. We are also sending letters to the Biden administration officials and Biden family associates renewing our request for voluntary production of documents relevant to this investigation. This is an investigation of Joe Biden, the president of the United States, and why he lied to the American people about his knowledge and participation in his family's international business schemes. National security interests require the committee conduct investigation, and we will pursue all avenues that have long been ignored. Committee Republicans have uncovered evidence of federal crimes committed by and to the benefit of members of the president's family. These include conspiracy or defrauding the United States, wire fraud, conspiracy to commit wire fraud, violation of the Foreign Agents Registration Act, violations of the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, violations of the Trafficking Victims Protection Act, tax evasion, money laundering, and conspiracy to commit money laundering. The Biden family's business dealings implicate a wide range of criminality from human trafficking to potential violations of the Constitution. In the 118th Congress, this committee will evaluate the status of Joe Biden's relationship with his family's foreign partners and whether he is a president who is compromised or swayed by foreign dollars and influence.
Pretty big deal, if you ask me. You can understand why Democrats are nervous, because they're dealing with actual evidence here and some very serious allegations backed up by actual evidence, unlike the nonsense we heard for 4 years when Trump was president. Again, this is not a revenge thing. It's not. There's real evidence here of corruption, and they need to do their job of oversight. But please, don't even try this. For 4 years, I had to listen as Democrats went on and on about their Russia nonsense with no proof of anything, nothing other than allegations and claims. And we wasted so much money dealing with this nonsense. These guys have evidence now. These guys are going to look into it. The committee's going to do their job. And of course, immediately, this was, we heard Russian disinformation. Yes, Russian disinformation. And this is what you're going to hear from the Never Trump crowd and the Democrats and the media that they're just playing into the hands of Russia with this. I don't know how, but nevertheless, you're going to hear that. So Jim Jordan respond to that, actually, cut number 11.
So I would just start with this question. What part of Mr. Comer's presentation was Russian disinformation? I mean, never forget what happened on October 19th, 2020, 15 days before the most important election we have in our country. Who's going to be the next president of the United States? 15 days before that, Mr. Brennan, Mr. Clapper, and 49 other people signed a letter that said the following. It is for these reasons that we write to say that the arrival on the U.S. political scene of emails purportedly belonging to Vice President Biden's son, Hunter, has all the classic earmarks of a Russian information operation. They further went on to say, we want to emphasize that we do not know if the emails provided to the New York Post are genuine or not, just that our experience makes us deeply suspicious that the Russian government played a significant role in this case. And of course, that letter became the pretext for suppressing this story, again, just days before the most important election we have in our country. So I would ask this, was J.P. Morgan's suspicious activity report to the Treasury Department, was that just a classic earmark of a Russian information operation? How about when Hunter Biden sent the email that Mr. Comer pointed to, sent the email asking for keys to his new office space, one for himself, one for President Biden, one for his uncle Jim Biden, and one for the emissary for the chairman of the Chinese energy company, CFCC. Was that just Russian disinformation operation in place? What part of Mr. Comer's presentation prompted the FBI to go to Facebook and say, hey, you want to be on the lookout for Russian misinformation here this election season? What part of his presentation would prompt that? And I think it's also important to understand, never forget how this story has changed. I mean, think about this. When it started off, it was, no, it's not his laptop. It's not his laptop. Then it was, well, it's his laptop, but remember, it's Russian disinformation and no one did anything wrong. Then it was, well, maybe he did something wrong, but President Biden didn't know about it. And now it's, well, maybe President Biden knew about it and was involved, but it didn't influence his decisions.
I'll tell you what, there's a lot here. There's a lot of juicy stuff here. And the China stuff really bothers me a lot. It really does. Considering how Xi Jinping is just such a monster, and he is, and considering how little oversight we have of China, and I don't mean oversight in the classic sense of that, but I mean getting to the bottom of everything that China's doing, just getting to the bottom of COVID, for example, didn't even come up here today in their conversation, which, by the way, I don't know if you heard this, but Xi Jinping dressed down man-child Justin Trudeau of Canada. Apparently, Xi Jinping doesn't like how his eyebrows are so incredibly manscaped, and he dressed him down, and Trudeau just sat there like the little goofy little wuss that he is, and sat there as Xi Jinping dressed him down in front of all these other world leaders, and little man-child Justin Trudeau. Remember, that was the guy that interrupted that woman one time at a conference who said, mankind, and he literally interrupted her and said, humankind, please, humankind. We don't want to bring gender into it, even though the word human has, you know, the word man in it, but nevertheless. So he's a rude, rude guy, and he's a complete tyrant. You remember all the stuff he did with COVID and the truckers and closing the border and the vaccine requirements and everything. But he's a, like all people, he's nothing. He's a wolf in sheep's clothing is what he is. No, that's the wrong analogy for him. He's a cardboard cutout of a world leader. He's not real. And if you push him down, you'll find he just falls down and there's nothing inside there. That's all it is. He's a total wuss. And Xi Jinping dressed him down. And because Xi Jinping is a communist and Trudeau's a communist, he just sat there dutifully and took it from his master. He didn't push back at all because, you know, it's one commie leader talking to another. But he's the grand poobah of commie leaders. He's Xi Jinping. Justin Trudeau could only imagine what it'd be like to have that much power, to be that much of a tyrant. Remember, Justin Trudeau was the guy during COVID who said, had he envied China for their ability to stop the spread of COVID, China was bolting people's doors shut, sealing their doors, using the military to keep people in their homes. And Justin Trudeau admired that because of the ability they had to stop the spread of COVID, even though they didn't stop the spread of COVID, clearly. But anyway, this is the exchange. Take a listen.
Everything we discuss is then leaked to the paper. That's not appropriate. And that's not how the way the conversation was conducted. If there is sincerity on your part,
free and open and frank dialogue, and that is what we will continue to have. We will continue to look to work constructively together, but there will be things we will disagree on, and we will have
to do that. Let's create the conditions first.
I know it's a little hard to hear on the radio, but without captions, but basically, he got dressed down here, and it was just enjoyable to watch. It really was. 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. So, as we discuss all these issues, I keep coming back to something that is very consistent here, and that is that what you should feel good about today is that even though the red wave was not a massive wave, it was still enough to deliver a Republican majority in the House of Representatives. And that's what should make you happy today. They have oversight now over the Bidens. They have oversight over the White House. They've got oversight over the purse strings. This is a big thing and something that should not be ignored. And I think that these guys who are in charge now are not going to turn out to be the typical Republicans who get in power and then just let it all go because they want to play nice with the Democrats. I think these guys are going to be pit bulls, and they should be. They really should be. Not just with Biden and not just with the crime family, but also, as I mentioned, Fauci, China, the IRS, the FBI, Department of Justice, all of it. Just all of it. I want to hear it. I want to see it. I want them to get on top of it. It's going to be a good thing, a very good thing. We got so much more to come. We're only getting warmed up. This first hour flew by, so don't go away. 855-839-1210. Don't forget tonight, Parks Casino. I want to see you there. Doors open at 7. The comedy show starts at 8. Joe Conklin, two great headliners, including Marion Grodin. Me, I'll be up on stage. $20 gets you your ticket and your first drink included. So come on out to Parks Casino tonight for the comedy show. Would love to see you there. And I want to thank USA Insulation for helping my home be more comfortable and for helping us save money. That's the beautiful thing. We're feeling the bite of winter. It's freezing out right now. We're talking about Buffalo, New York, getting anywhere from 4 to 6 feet of snow and just a big cold wave coming our way. Well, listen, if your house is already cold and drafty, heating your home is the costliest part of your energy bill by far. Cold homes are expensive homes. And people are surprised to learn that more of your warm air leaks out of your walls and your windows and doors combined. So do what I did and call USA Insulation today. It's like putting a giant winter coat around your home. Save you money, make your home more comfortable. And right now you can save $500 on an early bird discount to get your home ready for winter. 1-800-USA-FOAM. 1-800-USA-FOAM or usainsulation.net.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.